are listening to Conversations with Nathan Latka, where I sit down and interview the top SaaS founders, like Eric Yuan from Zoom. If you'd like to subscribe, go to getlatka.com. We've published thousands of these interviews, and if you want to sort through them quickly by revenue or churn, CAC, valuation, or other metrics, the easiest way to do that is to go to getlatka.com and use our filtering tool. It's like a big Excel sheet for all of these podcast interviews. Check it out right now at getlatka.com. Scholarship Owl is helping large brands like Samsung connect with college students or around the college student age. He also helps 20,000 college students generate and get access to over $1 million of scholarship revenue. That's what they paid out last year alone, processing over 150,000 signups per month right now. They got a robust engine. We're thrilled, obviously, that he used FounderPath for some non-dilutive capital as he's grown, totally bootstrapped, to over $6 million of revenue, up from $3 million back in 2020. Hey folks, my guest today is David Abakshnikov. He is building ScholarshipOwl.com, which helps connect consumer brands to Gen Z. He's got over two decades in tech, including roles as R&D manager in engineering at Google and Waze, and he specializes in bootstrapping companies and excels as a remote team expert. He travels a lot. He's got a passion for data, matching algorithms, and AI development long before it was mainstream, which complements his keen interest in Gen Z and content creation. David, you ready to take us to the top?
Yeah, nice.
All right. You have to back that statement up. So you said you were in AI long before it was mainstream. Were you doing any sort of AI stuff at Google or Waze back in the day?
So we did a bit at Google and Waze. We did quite a bit in Scholarship Owl as well for a few years now. I mean, we leverage a lot of AI to do efficient matching and kind of like extract intent from kind of our audiences in the most efficient way. Mm-hmm. So we've been doing quite crazy AI algorithms in Scholarship Owl as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you guys listened to my last interview with David, which is all the way back in 2021, you will know that Scholarship Owl is helping folks. So, you know, kids that are maybe junior, seniors in high school looking to go into college, it helps you quickly apply for different scholarships. But he's built a massive engine where there's tens of thousands of students doing this. And then obviously brands on the other side, i.e. schools and institutions trying to meet those consumers. But because, David, of the updated bio you gave in this podcast interview, I'm going to guess maybe you're not only working with schools anymore. Is that accurate?
So actually the majority of our customers are not schools at all. So I'm going to correct you on a few things. First, like we're talking about at this point, a Scholarship Owl has over 150,000 students, college bound Gen Zs basically, every month.
Right? So they sign up every month.
Yes.
Wow.
So it's not only like high school students, actually a lot of people who are already in college are looking for ways to, you know, pay for the next year or even things that are outside of tuition itself. Things like how do you buy, you know, gas money to get to campus or like buying a laptop that you need for school and all those things that are kind of school adjacent, let's call it that way. And today, the majority of our customers on our B2B side, like we launched Scholarship Owl for Business about a year and a half ago, mm-hmm. which is basically a platform that helps businesses, private consumer companies.
Name one or two.
So Samsung is a customer of ours. We work with BetterHelp. We work with quite a few big companies. We work with
Samsung and BetterHelp.
Yeah, McGraw Hill is a customer of ours.
What does Samsung want from you? What are they willing to pay for?
So Samsung are looking for brand ambassadors. So they're kind of recruiting brand ambassadors to promote their cell phones on campus or like among Gen Zs in general.
Hmm.
So many companies are using kind of our platform, like the product we call Scholarship Campaigns, which is kind of like the best of a scholarship and an ad campaign in one. To do some of them, you do it for lead generation. Some of them do it as market research. They generate UGC with it. Like we have identified kind of four different main business objectives that companies and brands are using scholarship campaigns to achieve.
Mm-hmm. And so how do you charge? Don't tell me what Samsung's specific pricing is, but what do you charge brands like Samsung to access your student base?
So the charge is basically cost per application. So it's a result-based cost, depending on how precise it is, how targeted it is, and you know, like what are the actions that the consumers need to do in order to apply. So it kind of ranges roughly between like $20 to $30 per application, depends on various metrics and so on. And part of that budget goes towards promoting the campaign itself, and part of it goes toward a scholarship that goes to the students. So kind of that, mm-hmm. that is split. And we take care of like the whole process of earning the scholarship. Like we have our own kind of 501c3 entity that helps make it tax deductible. I mean, when was the last time you heard of a marketing campaign that actually gives you tax benefits? Eh?
Yeah, sign me up. I'm ready to go. This is incredible. So how many brands like Samsung or BetterHelp now pay you on a monthly basis to get at least one application?
So on a monthly basis, we're talking about 50 brands, but on a yearly basis, it goes like to 400 because like some of them are seasonal, some of them are throughout the whole year. Depends on the goals that the brand is trying to achieve.
Mm-hmm. And how do you manage? I mean, that's a big flux. So how do you, as you're building a company and a remote team, and I'd love to hear how many full-time employees you have today. I mean, how do you manage sort of hiring, scaling up or down based off cash inflows from brands that are very seasonal?
Well, we don't like it doesn't change that much, right? I mean, at the end of the day, we still have a pretty stable ARR, and we have two revenue sources, right? We have the premium tools for the students, like a subscription business on one side, and the other side, we have the B2B side, which generates revenue from the brands and the companies.
And what's the split? Is it 50-50 revenue split?
It's... Today, more of it comes from the consumers, but it's quickly catching up, like evening out.
And what do students pay to use your subscription tools?
So on the consumer side, on the student side, we basically offer many tools that help them kind of highlight where the highest chance of winning a scholarship is, like optimizing the application process, adding a bunch of transparency into that. They pay $15 a month for the usage of the of our premium features. Mm-hmm. So like, things like they know that, like an applicant count, right? They know exactly how many other people apply to a specific scholarship. So they know to invest their time where they have the highest chance of winning. We give them a lot more kind of tracking over the application process itself. So they know that the brand on the other side actually reviewed the application and actually, you know, accepted it, or who is the winner. We make sure they know that there is a winner, right? Like in the scholarship space, there's quite a bit of like scams and lack of transparency and all of that. So we kind of, our premium product takes away all of that. You know exactly what happens. What are your chances? You have predictable, like we make the whole process predictable, transparent.
Yeah, Nathan, you applied for the Samsung scholarship. There are 983 other applicants. The winner is going to be announced on March 25th. And I get an email March 25th that says congratulations or uncongratulations. You didn't win, but here's the link to Sammy's LinkedIn profile. Sammy won from Samsung. Boom. Go click here to apply to other scholarships.
Exactly. But more than that, we actually optimize the application process itself. So one of our features on the consumer side, we call it kind of like the Netflix of scholarships, right? When you apply to a specific scholarship, some scholarships require quite a lot of different, like the application process, maybe an essay, maybe like a social media post, maybe like a video submission. So we analyze all of that and we find other scholarships that, you know, you can apply very quickly and easily to as well. Mm-hmm. And then we can batch them together and apply you to many different scholarships at the same time. And kind of, you know, we basically, we triple kind of, the time that it takes you to apply, we kind of bump the efficiency like to three times more, right? Like the same, you invest the same time. So not only we kind of find all the scholarships that you can apply to that are perfectly matched to you, and that's where AI comes in, right? We use a lot of matching, a lot of algorithms to extract a lot of this data.
So when you say there's 150,000 applicant or consumers signing up each month, could one person count multiple times if they're applying to multiple scholarships, or is that unique? 150 unique.
No, sorry, 150 it's 150 unique signups. 150 students, not 150 applications.
I see. So how many applications are you processing in a given month now?
So I think it's about. I don't have the exact number, but it's in the millions.
Well, it's also seasonal, right? Maybe we should ask for total 2023 stats. How many total applicants, like applications through all 2023?
So it is seasonal. Like Q1 is the highest, Q4 is the lowest. And I can tell you that students in general won over $1 million in scholarships last year.
Wow. Okay. So you paid out through scholarship over $1 million of scholarships through your programs.
Well, we paid, like the brands that are publishing scholarships paid to us $1 million. Yep. Yeah.
And then you pick winners of students and wire that out to students.
Yes.
I see. Okay. Do you keep a cut of that, or
student or to the college, depends on the kind of specific scholarship and so on. But generally, okay. we wire it out to the recipient, whatever is the student directly or the college, depends on the specific. Yep.
And how many students today are paying for your premium tools like applicant tracking, things like that?
So we have around 20,000 students now on the premium.
Okay.
Those are the ones that are paying on the premium side.
That's great. So when you say ARR is pretty stable, are you comfortable sharing what ARR is today all in?
So I can say the total revenue of last year was 6 million in total.
Great. That's great. What's your goal for this year? What are you trying to grow to?
So we're aiming for 10 million this year. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty
and
ambitious.
How are you going to get there? Charge brands more or sign up more consumers?
No, the focus is more to work with more and more companies and scale that side of the business.
Mm-hmm. This is great. Can we talk a little bit more about how you've capitalized the business and maybe touch on FounderPath briefly?
Sure.
Okay. So are you bootstrapped or have you raised traditional equity?
No, we're 100% bootstrapped. Yes, I see your smile.
I love it. So you own 100% along with your team.
So me and my partners own 100% of the business. And FounderPath actually helped us a lot. Like, I'll walk you a bit to kind of the life cycle, right? Every student that comes to the platform, they get like a 7-day free trial of the premium features, right? So we get our kind of consumer audience from many different channels. It used to be quite a bit from Google, but with all the changes that happen with ad networks, we scale Google down and we make most of our traffic from affiliate networks, from all kinds of promotions, from different shops, from running scholarship campaigns ourselves and so on. But there's a pretty big gap between kind of our cost of acquisition or the point of acquisition and when we bring, when that revenue comes back to us, essentially, right? And because we're trying to scale very quickly and the business is very seasonal, and it's subscription business, a large part of it, that means that we need to pay for the traffic today, that we will return part of it in a week to 2 weeks and another part in 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you sponsor that or how do you pay that when you're a bootstrap company? Well, that's exactly where the FounderPath comes in, right? We basically take the money today of what we would make on that student within the next year and buy the traffic now and, make that money throughout the next year.
Mm-hmm. Are you comfortable sharing how much you took from FounderPath?
We took from FounderPath, I'm comfortable sharing the kind of the last chunk, and we're going to take another one this year. So last time we took 300,000. And we plan to take another 100 to 150,000 actually in the next few weeks.
Are you comfortable talking about the deal we did together back in 2021, or you don't want to go back that far?
Nah, the company has changed a lot since then. I'd rather not talk about what was then because it was a very different kind of profile.
Do you remember the use of capital? I understand the business has changed, but do you remember or are you comfortable sharing sort of the use of capital back in 2021 and how that helped you change or pivot the business?
So we went to a pretty major restructuring back then, but I don't want to go into the details of that too much.
Okay, great. So fast forward to today, you're using capital to invest in obviously paid ad spend. You've grown the business. So you're at 6 million today. Do you remember what revenue was back in 2020, 2021 when you first started at FounderPath?
Yeah, it was less than 3 million, I think, or around that number.
Okay, so you've grown the business from 3 to 6 without having to give up equity. What is that like? How do you think about a lot of founders like don't think about what their equity is worth. I mean, how do you think about the sort of equity you've been able to save by using venture debt?
So I want to add that it's like the growth from 3 to 6. I mean, while it's quite impressive in and of itself, what for me personally is even more impressive is that we could, without taking external equity funding, we were able to launch a completely new product, build new development teams, build a sales team without any without giving out any equity for funding. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge win, right? Even if we decide eventually to maybe go and bring in VC funding, our value now is so much higher. And in a negotiation point, if we decide to go to the VC route at some point, we're not coming from a point of weakness when we say, well, if we don't raise now, we will die. We're not there at all. We come from a point of strength when we say, well, this is what we did with no VC funding. We know we can scale it a lot more. Now, are you as an investor going to bring us value as a strategic investor or like to your connections or your knowledge and so on? Because if it's just capital, we don't need you. And that negotiation is so much more powerful, right? Especially if you look at the last 3 years, like I know a lot of entrepreneurs who lost their companies or like who failed or had to do a down round because they didn't hit their projections or whatever. We never worried about any of this. This is like such an amazing place to be.
I can feel it in your energy. You're not stressed. You're building a sustainable company. We obviously love that. I also know, David, you did your research. You know about the different venture debt options. Not asking you to obviously throw anybody else under the bus or even name them, but when you looked at all the options, why did you decide to go with FounderPath and what did you like or dislike about the process?
Well, so I did a lot of research. I looked at, I think, at all the competitors. And I am comfortable showing that initially we went with CapChase before FounderPath existed, I think, or when it was just starting. And I think working with FounderPath and, I mean, with you and your team was, it's so much more comfortable and it's kind of such a much more open communication. And on top of that, FounderPath gives a lot of additional value, like SaaS Open, like all the things around, like it doesn't feel like working with a banker, right? Because it's not.
So I shouldn't start wearing a suit, huh?
I mean, you have the proper fintech suit, right? So yeah. That
That's awesome. Well, no, listen, we're enjoying obviously supporting your growth and love how you're sort of pivoting and growing the business. What do you most, before we wrap up with the famous five here, how do you plan to continue to use sort of AI to help more students earn more sponsor revenue and more brands connect with the right applicants?
All right. So we're already very good when we need, to do very wide campaigns, when like anybody can apply and that's it. The thing is that on those campaigns, when you have like 50,000 applicants to a specific scholarship campaign, like the chance of this, the student of winning that is like 1 out of 50,000, right? Chances are very small. On the other hand, our engine today is able to kind of target a student down to like a specific zip code, right? So anybody can run a campaign on our platform. Like we have local dentist offices. We have like a law office in Texas running a campaign to, bring in students, like running a scholarship. Because essentially, Gen Z is kind of the level, the point where the first decisions are being made. So somebody who chose the lawyer when they're like in the first year of college, they're going to stay with him for 30 years. I mean, the value is crazy. And what we're working constantly, like our constant chase is to improve our algorithms and matching to be as precise as possible, right? Like to pinpoint the specifically the audience that you are looking at, right? Knowing when the person is about to go to the, to think of a lawyer and having them apply to a scholarship at that point. It sounds simple, but it's actually pinpointing that and kind of detecting intent on that level is extremely complicated. And that's our constant chase, constant improvement on that. We have quite a few kind of, you know, AI systems in place. If the brand wants to run a scholarship with an essay, which we don't recommend ever, don't run essays because nobody likes to review them and nobody likes to write them. We have a saying inside that the only like brands hate reviewing essays almost as much as students like writing them, like hate writing them. But the point is that we're trying to kind of make that process as easy for the brands to kind of review and award the funds and all of that, and as easy for the student to apply as possible. So for the majority,
we'll follow along closely. You got to come back on in a year, give us an update. But we're out of time today. Let's wrap up here with a famous five. Number one, your favorite book.
My favorite book. I recently read the greatest CEO Within, and I absolutely loved it.
So, number two, is there a CEO you're following or studying?
Can I say the big guys? Like, I'm a big fan of what Satya Nadella has been doing lately.
Yeah, that's good. Number three, what's your favorite online tool for building Scholarship Owl?
My favorite online tool for building Scholarship Owl. That might be a bit. You know what? I'm gonna go with the simples. I'm a huge fan of Mixpanel.
Yep. Number four, how many hours of sleep do you get every night?
How many hours of sleep I get? 5 to 6.
Okay. And situation, married, single, kids?
Engaged.
Oh, and congratulations. That's very exciting.
Thank you.
All right. And I think you had a birthday, right? You're 37, 38 now?
I have a birthday on the 29th of April, so next month, and I'm going to be 40.
Okay. Well, man, engaged, 40, you're breaking 6 million of revenue, bootstrapped. You're living the life, man. Last thing, something you wish you knew when you were 20.
Something I knew. Well, I wish I knew FounderPath when I was 20.
Guys, there you have it. Scholarship Owl is helping large brands like Samsung connect with college students or around the college student age. He also helps 20,000 college students generate and get access to over $1 million of scholarship revenue. That's what they paid out last year alone, processing over 150,000 signups per month right now. They got a robust engine. We're thrilled, obviously, that he used FounderPath for some non-dilutive capital as he's grown, totally bootstrapped, to over $6 million of revenue, up from $3 million back in 2020. David, thank you for taking us to the top.
Thank you so much.